The ways of God and the ways of His divine providence, which He unfolds for us day by day, minute by minute, are wondrous and full of the glory of God, who is with us, and we hopefully with Him. And so, first of all, we have from St. James the advice which he gives to us, and also St. John and St. Jude relay the same message, and St. Paul, of course, that we should be careful in the things that we do and the things that we do not do. In this regard, he basically advises us, and of course his advice is not to be taken lightly. It is not just a suggestion, that we should listen. Listen to God and to the Word of God, which comes to us principally through His Holy Church. In addition to that, and as a result of that, we should be slow to speak. There are some people, we know them, you know them, they are so always so ready to speak and say whatever is on their mind. In Spanish, we say that their mind is on their tongue. On the tip of their tongue is their brain. And so, that is not the correct thing to do. We must listen to God, digest everything that He gives to us, and it is unending. And then, when necessary, when appropriate, when prudent, speak. And then he says, and this is something which all of us need to take into account, not only are we supposed to be slow to speak, but we are most definitely to be very slow to anger. Possible? Never. We know that's not possible because we are very sinful human beings. Under the power of concupiscence, of original sins, leftovers, which were not washed away by baptism. So, it is very important that we hold back anger. But it is not only that which we do not pronounce with the tongue that is anger, but we also need to be very careful and very and circumspective of our own conscience that we are not angry within. Sometimes we are angry within, or we are angry outside. We speak it, we show it, we manifest it. Other times we do not manifest it, but yet inside. And it seeps through, just like a filter. And so we need to be careful with this very dangerous thing that anger is. But we must be, as he says, engrafted into him, into the word that he has given to us. And this message also goes through the gospel. Our Lord, not so much in his divine knowledge and nature, which knows everything, but in his human nature, which still has the power to wonder at the things that we do. And not because he is ignorant, but because we do such incredible things, not necessarily good incredible things, but such evil incredible things. He wonders at his apostles and disciples. I go to him that sent me, and none of you ask me where I'm going or what I'm doing. They have not the courage to do so. So he wonders, why is it that you do not have the curiosity, the courage to wonder where I am going and why I am going and what I am going to do and what will happen after I go? And then he begins to tell them. And this is very important and also very much at heart to a message that I have to impart today, And of course, he does tell us that we must be united to him. And we need to be united to him through his Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. Now, if he doesn't go, he will not send the Holy Spirit to us. Because the processions of the Trinity in time, the way in which they come to us from heaven, is echoing the processions of the three persons of the Trinity in eternity. The Father proceeds from no one. The Son, the Word, proceeds from the Father. And from the Father and the Son, the Word, proceeds the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. And what he shows us, what he brings to us, comes from the Word. And that comes from the Father. All three of them are God. All three of them are equal in glory and majesty in every which way. And of course, we will celebrate this at the end of the season of Easter on the feast of the Holy Trinity, the Blessed Trinity. And one of the things in which the life of the Trinity is involved in our lives, in your life and mine. And it is no coincidence, no wonder, that we begin the most precious gift, the most precious prayer, which is the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and we end it in the name of the three persons of the Trinity, of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And we are blessed at the end of Mass by the same three persons. And so this is very important. And our own spiritual life does not begin unless it begins with them as they come to us through the gift of baptism. And all kinds of things come to me, to us, as we go through life. Now, this week, as I was looking at the work going on in front of the church, which some of you may have seen or not, who knows? You know, and none of you asked me what I'm doing. Well, you know, find out for yourself. But one of the workers comes up to me. And of course, he doesn't have the slightest idea of who I am. He doesn't know that he met the one that can teach him and will teach him. And he says, "I think I need to be baptized again." I said, "Why?" That's before I asked him where he was baptized. He says, "I need to be baptized in the name of Jesus." He read this in the epistles of St. Peter or somewhere. He didn't tell me where. I didn't look up for it. I don't need to. So he thinks that his baptism is invalid because he was not baptized in the name of Jesus. And I said to him, "Where were you baptized? Are you a Catholic?" And he says, "Well, I was baptized in St. So-and-so church here in town." And I guess that was the last time he stepped in a church. I don't know. Like many people are baptized just so that they can be condemned to hell in a few years. Ridiculous. What a waste of God's gifts, of God's grace. And so I say to him, "If you were baptized at St. So-and-so church, you are already baptized. Now what you've done with it, that's your problem." And I said to him, "As a matter of fact, the church teaches infallibly, dogmatically, and our Lord teaches, as a matter of fact, before he ascends into heaven, he teaches you must baptize everyone in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." He didn't say baptize in the name of Jesus. But you know, there are all kinds of things going on in the world today. And if you recall, a couple of years ago, we read with dismay, but not total surprise, of some dioceses in the Midwest. And of course, they were among the first to go crazy and liberal and non-Catholic. And then, of course, in California, where else do we expect everything bad to come from? That in New York and Boston, you know, they're the seats of trouble, of heresy, of evil. And so we found out that in those places, they were baptizing with an invalid formula. The formula, there are two things that are necessary for any sacrament: the form, which are the words, and the matter. And in the case of baptism, it's the water and the person. And so these people were being baptized in California, for instance. They were being baptized because everybody wants to be so apropos, so with it, so ahead of the rest of the crowd. Who wants to be with the rest of the stupid sheep? Well, they may be stupid sheep, but they're going in the right place. And so they baptized in the name of the Creator, in the name of the Redeemer, and in the name of the Sanctifier. Now, these things are descriptions of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But baptism conferred in those terms is invalid. And so, certain people, including some priests, God have mercy on us, through the wonders of the modern age. Now, there is a document, and by the way, Archbishop Lefebvre, who is my friend, and I have some pictures of us together that I have to show you, signed every document but one of Vatican II. Let's not get our knickers in a twist. And he signed this one, promoted by St. Paul VI. Saints make mistakes. So did Archbishop Lefebvre, my friend, who I believe is a saint, but it'll be a while before that takes place. And the document is about the modern means of communication, intermirifica. Now, how many people have ever heard of it? How many priests and bishops have ever heard of it? Who knows? Intermirifica, the wonders of the modern age. And among the wonders of the modern age are films and videos. Of course, now we have YouTube and all that, all the nonsense. And some of these people found out that they were baptized invalidly through the intermirifica. They saw the videos. I was not baptized validly. Oh, my goodness gracious. So they went to the bishops, they went to the Vatican, and they said, no, you are not baptized validly. But you know what happens? Everything is zero. And those who were priests, and there were some, you have to be ordained. You have to be baptized, and you have to be ordained again, because you are not a priest. That means every Mass that you have said was not a Mass. It was a sham. Every sacrament that you have conferred was zero. The only thing that is valid, not because of the person who gives it, but because of the form and matter of the sacrament, is baptism and confession. Confession the Church supplies. Ecclesia supplet. So if you go to one of these altar boys who's hiding in the confessional because he did something bad, he doesn't want me to catch him, but I know he's in there, but you don't know, you go to confession to him, he can't give you absolution, but the Church can and does. So that's an exception, but it is an exception. We do not make an exception the rule. But the baptism, it must be performed with a proper formula and the proper matter. So it must be in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And I notice some of you who are in a big hurry for what? To go to your coffin. You know, I already have mine. It's down the street. I can flop in it and that's the end of it. But why are you in such a hurry all the time? For what? And they say the sign of the cross or the glory be, in such a way that they skip some of the words. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. That's not what it says. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Don't be in such a hurry, and do not be in a hurry when you're addressing God. So, to make things succinct, the three persons of the Trinity are always together. All three of them are God. All three of them are the ones that give us all the wondrous gifts that we have. And they are inseparable, as I tell you so often. So that when we worship the Eucharist, our Lord Jesus Christ in the tabernacle, we are also worshiping the Father and the Holy Spirit. They're inseparable. And in fact, if you were to more deeply meditate and look at what you worship, you would realize that you are at the door of heaven. How many people appreciate this or behave like it? With a proper decorum and everything else that goes with it. So today we give thanks to God for His gifts, in particular the gift of Himself. And that at the time of baptism, validly conferred, we become a part of His divine family, which on earth is incarnate in the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, outside of which there is no salvation. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.